Chris.
Get him, Marcus.
We're back.
Week three at Marley's.
Week three at Marley's.
In Chandler Fashion Square Mall.
Live. We're live at Chandler Fashion Square Mall. We're back covering week four, but it's week three at Marley's, but we're covering week four. You know, we got the little baseball wild card in the background.
Marcus, it's quite the time of year.
Yes.
Today is opening day for the NHL.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to get the baseball season in the playoffs here. We're going to get hockey opening day. We got the NFL riding strong.
Yeah.
And you know what else starts this month?
What?
NBA.
NBA basketball.
We're as busy as can be.
Yes, and we actually might have a toss-up here that the Warriors aren't for sure. Maybe Warriors versus whoever LeBron's playing this year, so might be a little more exciting this year, a little NBA basketball. But we're here to talk quarterbacks and NFL football. It's a little pocket awareness. It's Marcus and Chris. Make sure you follow us at ALPA_QB1. Make sure you hit that follow button for that. You know, follow Chris at King Manelos. Follow me at the Mark John NFL. Make sure you hit download on Spotify. Make sure you hit subscribe on iTunes. Make sure you hit everything like that. Make sure you find whatever you can find us on. You know, if you can find us anywhere.
That was good. You did good there.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. I appreciate that, Chris.
You hit all the social media stuff.
I try, man. So we got a lot of things to cover this week, man. A lot of good quarterback action.
A lot of bad quarterback action.
I mean, that should be known. You know, we got some guys who bounced back this week, some guys who regressed, and some guys who have looked terrible all year who keep looking terrible. I mean, one of those guys has to apologize today. That was Kirk Cousins. we got one guy over here talking about Eli. I don't know why we're talking about Eli right now. You talk about Danny Dimes. You must be talking about Danny Dimes, man. Danny Dimes. No Danny Dimes? Oh, see, we got.
He's too loyal, baby.
He's loyal to Eli.
Those Jets fans, those Giants fans.
They love them some Eli.
They love them some Eli.
Two Super Bowls is all it takes. I don't like Jim Plunkett, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not. he won two Super Bowls, too. I know it wasn't in my lifetime, but still.
That's why you would be an apologist if you were around in
man,
that time.
Jim Plunkett should be in the Hall, man. I don't know what you're talking about. He's the only quarterback without two Super Bowls in the Hall.
There it is.
Is that me right there in 89?
That's it.
That's me in 89.
That's
right
you.
At the bar. I get it. All right. So let's talk about the first quarterback on our list here, which is the a guy who I like to start the season. You're getting me about this, Chris, because I had him in my top 15. I thought when we read the QB tier list, I thought he was at 13 was right where he should be. I thought he was top 15 guy. He's not really looking that way this year, and that's Kirk Cousins.
Oh, this year?
This year he's not looking like it? This year.
Okay, Marcus. I came at you hard about Kirk Cousins when he was in Washington. I came at you hard about him when they signed him in Minnesota, and now Minnesota is coming at him hard about the way that he's playing.
See, Kirk cannot play with a bad line, obviously, right? And when he gets a bad line, he becomes a little gun-shy, that's what they would say.
A little?
He's a little gun-shy right now.
Marcus, he is so gun-shy that he did not just get called out by his head coach.
Yeah.
He got called out by his wide receiver.
See. Was the wide receiver calling him out, or was he calling the offense out?
No. He was calling him out.
Are you sure he's calling him out?
Positive he's calling him out.
I don't know. I feel like he's calling the offense out.
You should take a look at some of the things that ended up on social media with their sideline conversations.
Well, I know they've had some little sideline arguments.
Thielen is not happy. And I'm surprised Diggs is keeping as quiet as he is.
Well, that's Diggs' boy, though. You know, Diggs was raving about him on the NFL 100 show.
He's got to do that.
Well, not really. He doesn't. He didn't have to go through that interview and just rave about his boy like that. But you know, today he walked out. He wasn't at practice today.
Get out.
Yeah, Diggs is not at practice today. He did not go to practice. So everybody's talking about the trades. He's getting traded.
Get out. I did not hear that.
But
that just kind of feeds my narrative a little bit more about what I told you about Kirk Cousins from the second that the Vikings gave him all that guaranteed money. This is the next version of the Jay Cutler contract. the only thing that benefits, or the only people that benefit from this contract, is everybody else in the NFC North.
See, the thing is with the Kirk Cousins contract, is they can't get out of it.
No, it's all guaranteed. It was the biggest mistake that they've ever made.
See, you can't hate on Kirk Cousins because he got NBA money.
Hey, I'm not mad at him. I'm not mad at him for getting his money.
I don't know how he did it.
The man, he got his money. He did it right. But I'm mad at the organization. Actually, I'm not mad at the organization. If anything, I applaud the organization for making such a stupid mistake because it gives my boys in Green Bay an edge.
Yeah, man, but, you know, I told you guys to worry about them Lions, man. Them Lions is coming, bro. I already told you about that, but I don't know if we're talking about Kurt right now. We should talk a little bit about Matthew Stafford today. We didn't write that on the list, but we should talk about your boy, how he's balling this year a little bit. But we'll get to that.
I'll pose this question to you, and we'll come back to it. Is it Matthew Stafford or is it Patricia calling that defense?
It's both. I say it's both.
You say it's both?
Matthew Stafford. I see. I want to get Stafford. Let's take the Cousins. We'll get Stafford next. So, Kirk Cousins, he just is struggling when he has to throw the ball and they can't run the ball. And to me, I don't understand how you can struggle with those two guys. I don't get it. Like, I'm a Raiders fan, you know, and you know, our best receiver right now is Tyrell Williams.
That's not true. Your best wide receiver is your tight end.
That's point. Proven. So thanks for proving my point. But I bet like Derek Carr would dream just to have those two on the outside for him. They're such good route runners too. It's like you can't not guard them one on one. They're gonna get separation at some point in time in the game. You're gonna have time in the pocket and you're gonna have time to hit those guys. And Kirk Cousins just ain't hitting them. Like there's a whole reel of Stephon Diggs against the Packers, right? And how many times did he throw the ball against the Packers? Like, he was terrible against the Packers, right? He was awful.
Oh, he was miserable.
Absolutely awful. And Stephon Diggs is killing people in his routes. And Kirk Cousins is not throwing them in the ball. And it's like, bro, like, what is wrong with you? Like, what happened? I don't know. He lost all confidence. I think
that is Kirk Cousins. I think what you see is Kirk Cousins.
I think Kirk Cousins is more of a I think he likes to challenge downfield a lot more than he is this year. So I think there's some kind of – that's why I kind of feel like Adam Thielen was calling it the offense. Because even though Cousins is – I'm not going to say he's a good quarterback. He does like to throw the ball downfield, and he does like to throw the ball into tight windows into traffic. So he's not doing that at all now. But before, he used to be like throw the stupid interception because he would force it into traffic. Now he's just like so gun shy. It's like I feel like the coach is in his head. I feel like he's got the coach in his head telling him that we want to run the ball. Don't try to make the big mistake. Don't try to force it to these guys. Take your shots when you want to take the shots. And it's backfiring. That's what I think is going on right now.
I don't know, Marcus. I think that's just who he is. I think that's who he's always been. I don't remember him being a downfield guy in Washington.
I mean, his YPA has never been really low. It's never been under like 7.8 or 7.9. So he's always been like a downfield. I'm not gonna say he's a downfield thrower. He's not Patrick Mahomes.
Would you want to say like he's
he's not a check down guy?
No, he hasn't. I'll agree. He hasn't been a check down guy. Yeah. But he's been very cautious. He's been quick to throw those speed outs.
Yeah.
On the outside, I don't think he takes a lot of risks in the middle of the field, and I think. He's taking even fewer risks in the middle of the field now.
I agree with that. Yeah, I just think he's got to figure it out, man. I don't know what's going on with that offense. Especially, it's basically just him. Because I mean, I know that line's not good, but come on, man. You got guys who can separate
I'm sorry. His fault.
You got guys who can separate like that, bro. Run a slant, dog.
Especially the way that they've been running the football, too.
Yeah.
This is all on him.
Yeah. They get open on slants, like, easy. Like, Stephon Diggs. How many guys can guard Stephon Diggs on a slant route? Not a lot. Throw a slant, bro.
No, I agree with you. And the slant's probably – the slant might be one of my most favorite passes in the NFL.
Yeah, so like just do a three – give him some three-step drops, get the ball out of his hand quick. I don't know what to try and do. They're trying to do those bootlegs, and he has which is weird to me. This is a weird stat for, like, Kirk Cousins because he doesn't run. He has the highest time to throw in the NFL right now. So he's taking, like, more than 3 seconds. Look at the A's already choking. Letting home runs in the first round. See, look.
A leadoff homer.
Yep. Choke A's. Here come the A's choking. All right. That's for my brother.
Here's the disadvantage of being live at Marley's in Chandler Fashion Square.
Makes it show more
we
exciting.
Got the baseball game on. We're sitting here watching the Blues ride around the ice with the Stanley Cup trophy in the air. Like, there's just, I'm distracted, Marcus.
Yeah, I'm distracted too, man. But A's just going to keep choking, man. But back to Kirk Cousins.
Back to speaking of choking.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know what they're going to do. Kirk, he looks broken, man.
You know what's going to happen? Here's what's going to happen. Right. He's going to get loose with the ball.
Okay.
And he's going to literally cost them a game. And they're going to say, well, I mean, he's making good decisions with the ball, but then there's the occasional bad one. We just need to fix the occasional bad one. And then you're going to see Thielen get even more upset because he missed him and it got picked.
See, I do want to add some context to this, though. He has played two top 10 defenses already. I mean, the Bears are one of the best defenses in the league. Packers are one of the best defenses in the league. And he struggled against both teams, but against mediocre teams, mediocre defenses, he's done all right. So they're playing the Giants this week. He might have another bounce-back week. He's been calling himself out. And the Vikings probably are 10-9-win team still because the defense is still that good.
Well,
So they're going to beat up on mediocre teams. Can Kirk Cousins rise and beat great teams? That's the problem with the Vikings right now because, they're going to beat the Giants next week. If they got some more weaker opponents later on, they're going to beat those teams. What is going to happen when it comes to beating the Packers or when it comes to beating the Bears? Is he going to just embarrass himself like he did last week or embarrass himself like he did against the Packers? That's the problem with Kirk Cousins for me is that he's just not good against good teams.
Oh, he's never been.
So the Vikings are so good. Like, they'll play the Raiders and they'll beat them down. But if they go play the Bears, they're going to have a little more of a struggle and they're going to need Kirk to rise up and be a better quarterback. And when that can't happen, man, it's bad. It's bad. My brother's already texted me about MLB wildcard games. He's upset. He's an Oakland Athletics fan. And he saw the first home run at the live just like we did, so he's upset already. But, yeah, so back to Chris. So I do want to talk about Matthew Stafford a little bit, Chris.
Okay.
It's a little off schedule for us, but I want to talk about Matthew Stafford.
Okay.
And how Darren Bevell has kind of revitalized him as a downfield thrower. He doesn't have the little Joe, was that? John, what was his, like the weird country name?
Oh, it was Billy Bob Thornton's brother.
What was his name?
Bob
Kaser or something. I don't know. I forgot his name.
I know who you're talking about.
Whatever. Billy Bob something. He had him as offense coordinator. He's a little, you're kind of a little dinky dunkish, you know, throw a screen to Golden Tate, you know what I'm saying? Do it a little dink, 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 dink. But now he got Darren Bevell, and they're kind of playing him like Russell Wilson a little bit. You know, run the ball, and when you pass, you throw it downfield. So I got an interesting stat for you, Chris, about Matthew Stafford. So last year, he had 9% of his throws go over 20 yards. This year, he has 22% of his throws going over 20 yards.
You have to be able to take the top off of a defense. You got to get downfield. If you can't spread the field and open it up, it's going to hurt any offense in the long run.
Yeah.
Whether they're being completed or not, the fact that he's taking the throws downfield is healthy.
Yeah.
It's very healthy for an offense.
I think he's having a good year, man. I think he's gonna keep having a big year, and he's got the weapons outside to go deep. He got Marvin Jones. He got Kenny Galladay. They're well coached on defense. I think they got a good shot if he's playing the way he's playing.
I would agree that it's because of the opportunities the defense continues to provide.
Oh,
them.
For sure.
I don't think that the offense, though, is capable of sustaining it without the help of the defense.
See, I mean, I don't know. I don't know about that, man. I think they're good enough. I think you're sleeping on Stafford. And
I got a whole career that I looked at here, Marcus. That I've been looking at for years.
Stafford. See. My thing is with Stafford is that he's not really bad at anything. I'm going to say he's bad at anything. He's just not – he's so confusing to me. It's hard for me to evaluate Matthew Stafford because it's like he's good, but he's not as good as he should be, but he's good.
Well, I'll tell you what it is.
But he should be better.
You ready for it?
Yeah.
Zero expectation on him this year. Zero. I mean, nobody's thought anything of the Lions this year. Everybody wrote them off immediately. They've not been in any conversation across anybody's board at all. So the expectation for the Detroit Lions are zero. So when you have zero expectation on your back, and I kind of brought this up when we were talking about the Steelers and Mason Rudolph and what happened when they went down and lost Big Ben.
Yeah.
When the expectation is no longer there and you have the ability to just play football and there's the people that are being held accountable are the team that you're playing against. Like, the reason that it was so close against Kansas City is because they stuck around long enough that the expectation level that the Kansas City Chiefs have for themselves put the pressure on Kansas City. And they started screwing up because, man, I should be playing better than this already. And they tighten up and they just play a tighter game.
Yeah.
When the expectation's not there on you and you get to play loose and free, you just always play better. You always do.
Yeah, I still think he's playing better. I feel what you're saying. You're saying that he didn't have the expectations, nothing lived up to, so he's kind of catching everybody off guard. But I still think
he gets to play loose and free.
But he's still playing better than he did last year.
When it doesn't matter if you throw the interception or not, you're more likely to let the ball flow.
Yeah.
And to be honest, you just play better. Play better.
If Kerryon Johnson,
there's no pressure.
Chris, if Kerryon Johnson does not fumble and they run it back for a touchdown, I think we're having a different conversation about how good Matthew Stafford is playing.
No. It's the same conversation. But you know what they've done? Now they've put an expectation on the season. Because if they would have beat Kansas City, they're basically saying that we beat the best team in the league right now. So here is the level. We can play and beat the best teams out there. And as soon as you put that expectation on the team again, you will see the same Matthew Stafford that we have seen throughout his entire career.
But that's my point. Like, he hasn't been bad his career, but he hasn't been great.
He doesn't beat anybody with a 500 record or better.
I get it. I get that. But he's not bad. That's my problem with it. It's like, tell me something that Matthew Stafford does bad.
He's not bad, but he can't beat anybody good.
What does he do bad?
He doesn't beat good teams.
But that's not his fault. He plays for the Lions.
Win is a quarterback statistic, just like win is a statistic for
pitchers. I think the uniform has a lot to do with Matthew Stafford. I think if Matthew Stafford got traded to like a decent franchise, it'd be different. I think
Marcus,
the uniform.
People try to make that conversation about Tom Brady, and if he didn't play in New England.
See, but that's not the same point because that's a good franchise. See, maybe if Tom Brady prayed for the Lions, he wouldn't be winning as much because it's the Lions, no matter how great he is. It's the Lions. Come on, Chris. What have the Lions ever done in the history of the NFL besides make the maybe?
What was that, 1991 wild card game?
They made one, like,
Sanders.
One NFC Championship game?
I don't even think they made an NFC Championship game.
They haven't won a game since a championship since the 50s, bro.
Did they even win a championship?
I think so. I think they did.
Are they one of the teams that has one?
I think they have a championship in the 50s. I mean, an NFL championship. No Super Bowls. They didn't even really sniff the Super Bowl. That's my point, man. It's the Lions.
Yeah, they got to the NFC wild card game with Barry Sanders and Rodney Peete.
Well, they made it a couple times with Scott Mitchell, too. They made it a couple times with Scott Mitchell. You know, they gave Scott Mitchell all that money because of the Lions.
All that money. We're going to talk about all that money back then. Marcus, it was like $680,000, all that money.
Right now, basically Scott Mitchell got the Kirk Cousins contract. If you want to think about that. Think about that right now. If you could compare it, Kirk Cousins contract, Scott Mitchell.
You got people like flipping through like Wikipedia.
I'm just telling you, the Scott Mitchell contract and Kirk Cousins contract are basically the same.
We're going to lose people listening to this because you brought up Scott Mitchell.
I'm just saying, man.
They're screaming out movie QBs at this point here.
What movie did I scream out?
Varsity Blues. Come on.
But I'm just saying, I mean, it's the Lions. So that's why I feel about Matthew Stafford sometimes, too. And he plays for the Lions. And that might be part of it, too. But we'll see. You know, everybody can turn something around. He's at least made them a playoff team. This is the best he could do, I guess, at this point. He's made a couple playoffs. I mean, it's all he can do, bro. He's just not bad. That's my thing with him. It's just like you can try to pick apart his game, but he's just not bad enough for you to be like, well, like what?
I would put him. Well, I was about to say something aggressive. I was gonna say I think he's. Well, I think that you got to put him above Cousins.
Oh, for sure.
And then I thought about it. I was like, is that really that aggressive?
It's not.
No, but if we're gonna talk about the tiers like we did earlier in the season, that's tier three.
Yeah, but he's playing like a tier two
both
quarterback right now.
They're both tier three quarterbacks.
I would say he's a verge tier three Matthew Stafford, but I would say this year he's playing like a tier two. He's playing a tier two level right now, so he's
you
like
think he's playing tier two level right now.
Right now he's playing right tier now? Two level okay. for sure.
All right.
So let's get to the supposedly hottest quarterback in the NFL, who kind of
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh well. You want to talk about Patrick a little bit?
I mean, you're talking about the hottest quarterback in the NFL.
I was going to say Dak Prescott. That's the word on the street.
Oh, okay. See, you can't say that kind of stuff to me.
Well, but I mean, like, Patrick Mahomes is funny because he had like a normal quarterback game, and everybody said it was a bad game for him. That was like a normal. He had like 60% completion percentage, 7.5 YPA.
And how dare you?
How dare you? What a terrible game you had, Patrick. That's a good day for Kirk Cousins.
That's a great day for Kirk Cousins.
With Patrick Mahomes' bad day is an average quarterback's good day. So that's pretty funny. I think that was pretty funny. That's all I got to say about Patrick this week. And I think it's the Lions were like, we're going to stop you from throwing the deep ball. And he just dinked and dunked them. So we obviously, there's no way to stop him. Basically, I'm convinced because he just started throwing drags. He was like, okay, I'm gonna hit the drags then. Oh, you don't think I'm gonna check down? Oh well, guess what?
Boop, 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 boop.
It took him a while to figure it out, but once he did, man,
I gotta kind of get off the Dak train real fast. I was really impressed the last 2 weeks.
Okay,
with something that we made fun of. We made fun of and poked fun at these quarterbacks. Well, it's not. I want to say these quarterbacks. It was basically the Steelers in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah,
throwing these passes that are at the line of scrimmage.
Which he did again, Mason Rudolph.
Which they did again. They did it again.
I saw like 10 pop passes that game. But
I'll tell you what. With the way that these athletes are,
yeah,
across the NFL, with the talent level that these guys have, if you just get him the ball quickly, and they're in the open field. Nobody can make an open field tackle anymore.
Yeah, I mean, but
your yards after catch is
the Steelers
like
are playing
through
the Bengals.
Roof.
It was the Bengals, Chris. I mean, the Bears are tackling them.
Okay, well, let's use the Niners. That's not a bad defense.
It's a really good defense.
That's not a bad defense, but it was the same game plan.
Kind of, but I think the Niners game was different because Jimmy Garoppolo threw three interceptions. So they basically had the ball at the 40 like three times and still only put up 17 points, if that tells you anything.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to the idea of live another day and check it down.
Yeah.
If guys like Baker Mayfield, who we'll get to later, did that, then I think the Browns, they're not where they're sitting with their win-loss record.
Yeah, I mean,
I think just with how talented these guys are and with how they're trying to evolve the running back position.
Yeah.
Getting the ball out quick.
I agree.
And getting it into your playmaker's hands in open space.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see the potential for big plays happening versus forcing the ball downfield. It's not as sexy.
Yeah.
And it's not the NFL that everybody wants.
Uh-huh.
But it'll eliminate things like holding.
Yeah.
And it just puts you in a better place as an offense because just like we were talking about, you got to be able to throw the ball deep to get the top off the defense and stretch the field. You keep checking it down, they keep sucking up, and then you can go over the top.
Yeah.
So one thing leads to another. I think that there's the opportunity on both sides, and I'm not upset with what the Steelers are doing. I think it's a great thing for Mason Randolph especially.
I don't know, man.
Maybe it's not that good if I can't remember his last
Chris,
name.
Chris, I don't know about that. I mean, I see what you're saying, but, man, that's not going to last very long. And the question is, can he take the top off of defense?
Well, we're going to find out, because what they're going to start doing is sucking up on him. And he had an open wide receiver at the end of the game, threw a 40-yard touchdown pass.
That dude was like wide.
Well,
wide
that's
open.
What happens when you make a defense come up like that.
I don't know.
That's what
Chris.
Happens. They lose track of what's going on in the back end.
I don't know.
I'll tell you what. One of my favorite things, and I just texted with my old offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And what was I watching? I was watching the Monday night game.
Okay.
And I'm watching these checkdowns. And I'm watching him get the ball out of his hands real fast. And I texted him, and I was like, man, are you watching this game? I swear somebody on that sideline's like, it's not your ball. Get the ball out of your hands. That's the nice way. That's the PG version of what he was screaming at me all these years on the sideline. Okay. I love the slant pattern so much right now because he made me throw it all the time because he wanted that ball out of my hands as fast as possible.
I get it.
But so he started laughing. It's like, I told you, and it stuck with you, didn't it? And I was like, yeah, you're right. And he's like, and it's sticking with my kid, too. He's playing football now in seventh grade. And I was like, it's with me forever.
Yeah,
it's with me forever.
But there's a difference between getting the ball to your hand and throwing a pop pass. That's all I'm going to say, Chris. There's a lot of pop passes. And, you know, I don't know. I was watching the game and like, man, I don't know about this dude. I don't know.
I mean, I was happy because I got James Conner on my team. So I love seeing the ball go to him every time.
I guess so. But, man, I don't know about that. I don't know about Mason. I don't know about that. I'm a little scared that they're scared. Because to have a game plan like that means they're terrified of him.
No, that's
they're
the
scared.
Game. That's the game plan in Chicago with Mitch Trubisky. They are terrified of letting him read a defense.
Well,
terrified.
Well, yeah. Mitch is Mitch, though. Mitch is just.
Mitch is on the sideline now.
Mitch shouldn't have been drafted that high. Let's just be real. He just shouldn't have been drafted that high.
Oh, that's the biggest fact that I've ever.
He just shouldn't have been drafted that high, but that's a different story. Yeah, but, you know.
I did
sidetrack us, but the whole Dinkin' and Dunkin' thing, I don't know about that, but
there's nothing wrong with it.
It is a little bit. Because I watch the Raiders, man, I sometimes just wish it fits against a certain defense, okay? But if a defense is playing too high and cover two, it's not going to work. You can't dink and dunk against that. So, yeah, the Bengals are probably like, they came out and they're like, okay, Mason can't throw, so we're going to play man-to-man, cover one, one safety up top. But if they come out, we're going to play too high, we're going to play cover two, and we're going to tackle you for every single dink and dunk you do. It gets a little different.
Yeah, but you don't think that they're going to turn around and put Juju into a flag pattern?
I don't know. I don't think.
You don't think that they'll.
Can he throw it, though? We don't know.
That's true. We don't know.
We haven't seen him throw. We've seen him throw a deep ball, right, when the safeties are coming up. We have never seen him hit that intermediate, that 10 to 20.
Yeah, the in-between, the safety when's, and the corner.
That's the quarterback. That's when you really move the ball as a quarterback. You're hitting that 10 to 20, dog. He hasn't done that.
You're right.
So, he hasn't hit that dig at 15 yards yet. With a strike. That's what I'm a little worried about with Mason. So,
I love those throws, man.
That's what I'm saying.
I love that flag, that 12 to 17-yard flag pattern to the sideline.
Yeah.
Split the safety in the corner. I love that 15-yard dig route behind the linebacker in front of the safety. I love that stuff.
Well, that's my point, Chris. Can he throw that, or does he have the confidence to throw that ball? We don't know.
You know what kills me? You know what absolutely kills me? How are we in an NFL now where we don't know if somebody can do that? That was clockwork for these guys in the 80s and 90s.
Because
it was clockwork.
Because what you just talked about, the way they designed, like there's so many playmakers and quick playmakers, you just get rid of the ball quick. We don't know if those guys have to do that. We don't know. He didn't have to do that in college either.
No, they never had to do that in college.
Exactly.
It was one read, get the ball out, never read a progression.
He doesn't know. We don't know if he could do that. So that's my biggest issue. But let's get to Dak. I want to talk about Dak a little bit because I see a lot of Cowboys fans mad that, because, of course, I was part of Cowboys Wire for a little bit. So I still see part of little Cowboys Twitter a little bit. And I see little Cowboys people mad that they ran the ball a lot, right? And I get why they're
mad. Oh, you mean the bread and butter of that offense?
I get why they're mad because it, you know, running on first down and keep running and messing up is fine. But I think what happened in that game is that the Saints were like, okay, 3 weeks of Dak just throwing the ball over people's heads. More time, throwing the ball over somebody's head. They were like, you're not going to throw deep on us. Right? So they play too high all game. I've seen the clips. I've seen the GIFs. I've seen the people posting all 22. They play too high the whole game. Okay? Not like they didn't switch to cover. They never went to cover one. They played. Your wide receivers. Mark Cooper's hurt. He ain't beat Marshawn Lattimore. You're not going to throw deep on us. You're going to have to meticulously drive down the field and, you know, dink and dunk, throw little throws, everything. You know what I'm saying? So I think what happened in that game is Kellen Moore saw those small boxes. Because, Chris, you know, we play football, right? And I think, you know, people get mad when they're like, well, you didn't play football. You don't understand, right? But if you're a football coach, you got Ezekiel Elliott. You got six in the box. What are you doing?
Running every single time. You've got the numbers.
Right? You got six in the box. It's first down. I'm going to run the football. They just lost that game, basically based on that. But I think Dak, it kind of shows what I was talking about for the past 3 weeks. And we were talking about that, is that a team is eventually going to say, okay, we're going to stop Dak. We're not going to try to stop Zeke. I mean, the Saints have had the front to do that, but I think that might come back to bite teams later on if they try to duplicate what the Saints did.
I don't think so, Marcus. So. I think it's what we kind of went down this road before. I call it the Adrian Peterson effect.
Okay.
You let AP run for 280 yards.
Yeah.
All day long.
Okay.
He can have the yards.
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't get three touchdowns, you're fine.
Okay.
You let Zeke get 280 yards and two touchdowns, great. That's 14 points. If you got an offense that can put up 17 points, you win the game. As long as you don't make a mistake on the defensive side of the ball and let the defense for the Cowboys put points on the board.
And I think that's why the Cowboys struggled, and I think that's why they ran the ball so much. It's because they ran the ball on first down because they had the numbers, because those teams were trying to stop Dak, you know? And I think they're going to have to adjust. So I'm not going to say Dak regressed or anything like last game. I think you saw
who he really is. I think you saw who he really is, because I was really impressed by one throw that he made. And okay, I bet you can name that throw.
The one in the scene with Blake Jarwin?
Right on that last drive.
Yeah.
Good Lord, did he put that ball
No, you're talking about the one to Randall Cobb.
Was that Cobb at the end?
Yeah, that was Cobb. That was Cobb.
I was super impressed.
He had a couple good
throw.
Throws in that game, but I think the offensive coordinator was not prepared for that type of game plan. I think the Cowboys are expecting teams to come out and try to stop Zeke, and when a team came out and said, "Okay, we're going to stop Dak,"
they didn't know how to
everything
it.
Changes. Everything changes for a quarterback. A quarterback, when a team is trying to stop you, you don't become the easy. You don't get the easy reads you used to get. You got to play quarterback at a top level.
Agreed.
Right?
Agreed.
And, you know, that's what happened with Dak, is that we can admit, he's a good quarterback. He's a tier three, top-notch, tier two when he's having a good day. He's a good quarterback. But when teams come to play to stop him, it just becomes a totally different story. So all I'm going to say, because first of all, your coordinator has to adjust, right? If the coordinator doesn't adjust, it's not going to look good for him. He's going to hold the ball a little bit longer than he used to. He's not going to go through his reads. Amari's hurt, so he doesn't want to admit it, but he's hurt, and he's dropping passes like he used to in Oakland. And I don't know. I just feel like that team's going to regress a little bit. I feel a regression coming.
Hey, I'd love to see that this week.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'd love to see that this week.
Because if I know anything about Amari Cooper, he's a little bit of a head case. And Jair Alexander is the type of corner to get in somebody's head. And he is. He's a head case. I think like, if you don't give him the ball early, he kind of gets out of the game. He needs the ball. He doesn't talk a lot. He won't be like Antonio Brown and make a scene on the sideline. But if he doesn't get the ball, his demeanor
changes.
He starts shutting down. And then he'll start dropping passes. And it's a big deal. And I think that's why Dak's going to start regressing a little bit. And he's not going to have going that big MVP run he's going on. So it's kind of hard to evaluate exactly what's going on with Dak because it's a little bit of his coaching and him. And we'll see how his coaches adjust to teams trying to stop him or if they never adjust and just assume that every team's going to stop Zeke. And then they're going to expect Dak just to be too high all the time. And it's not easy. Beating too high, unless you're Tom Brady, I mean, it's not the easiest thing to do, especially if the team has a good coach secondary. It's not the easiest thing to do as a quarterback.
I don't know if he'll see a too high look this week.
You don't think so? I think the Packers are taking it the wrong way if they do that.
I think that you know what? It's going to be interesting because they're getting some guys back. I don't know if Owen Brooks is going to start this week or not.
Okay.
But they really like Savage in the middle of the field and Amos in the box.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Savage can get sideline to sideline, and what that also does is exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah.
Jair Alexander against Amari Cooper is the matchup you're going to see the entire day.
I know, but that comes back to what I'm trying to say, though, is – because I still think it's a copycat league, right? Saints put out the blueprint, how to stop the Cowboys. I really feel like Matt Pettin, who has the corners and the dogs, do it. So he's not going to run too high all the time. He's going to blitz him, and he's going to be Mike Pettin.
Yeah.
Right? But I still think he's going to give him a couple too high looks on certain downs. And basically, he's probably going to have confidence in his D-line because the Packers have a good D-line too, right? So he's going to have confidence in a D-line to be like, okay, I think we can stop Zeke with our front six, in our nickel, in our front six, maybe in a seven sometimes, but we don't have to drop eight. We don't have to drop Amos down there. We can keep Amos up there to hide against deep ball or whatever comes in the middle and stop the pass and make sure that the Cowboys go back to being a run-first team. And I think that's what teams are going to start doing. And they got Zeke. I think you should call their bluff. I mean, they have Zeke. They're going to want to hand the ball off if you play too high and you have six in the box. They're going to call runs.
I don't know if they're going to have their left tackle this week.
Yeah, that's a problem.
So I think that's going to make things really interesting.
He's a high ankle sprain. He ain't playing. That's at least a week.
I think that'll make things really interesting.
Yeah, they are in trouble. And if they start losing games in a row, then, you know, Cowboy Nation's going to start freaking out.
You know what I think? The only people that I think are going to like that Dallas front office. Because then you can just start taking millions off that contract that you got to give
See,
back.
Man, that's messed
You just start chipping away at those millions. I think I got to applaud the front office for the Dallas Cowboys because they're handling it the right way.
See, I don't think they like Dak as much as they try to seem. They don't like Dak as much as try to portray, for sure.
Honestly, I want them to franchise tag him. They're going to spend less money tagging him than they are if you give him a brand new contract.
See, I wonder if they're going to pay Amari. That's my big question. I know this is kind of sidetracked from quarterbacks, but I want to know if they're going to pay Amari because if Amari doesn't perform well, what if he has like two catches this week?
Honestly, I think it's more power to them if he doesn't, because you got a kid that looked like that he started to develop in Gallup.
Mm-hmm.
Now he got sidetracked with the injury, but if you don't have to pay Amari and you don't have to pay Dak as much, and then you get to see how Gallup kind of develops. That's a lot more money that's going to go to the defensive side of the football.
Man.
And that's a lot more money that you can give to the offensive line.
Because
you can keep the core of that team together for a lot longer.
Yeah, because Amari Cooper's not Julio Jones.
Absolutely not.
Let's keep it real.
And there's going to be there's going to be a wide receiver that comes out in free agency. And I'm just going to throw this out there really quickly.
Okay.
What do the Dallas Cowboys love when it comes to wide receivers? Personalities, right?
Yeah.
I think I can name a personality that's sitting out there right now.
What personality is that?
There's two initials that come to mind.
You're talking about Antonio Brown? No way. There's no way they do that.
Why not?
Why
not?
There's no way.
Why not?
He's
Jerry Jones is used to personalities. Why not? You get
that'd be wild.
You tag you tagged Dak. You got Amari, who is coming down because of the injuries. You bring AB in on a bargain contract, and then you get one more year of Amari on the outside, lined up across from AB, and then you get Gallup to continue to develop so that when Amari's contract is done, you fill him into that spot. You still got Cobb for what? It was a 3-year deal, wasn't it?
I think so.
You got Witten. He'll play one more year for sure. You're going to tell me an AB, Amari, Gallup, Cobb as your four wide receivers, and then you got Witten at tight end with Zeke in the backfield, that offensive line back the way it is, and you get to pay the defense? You're going to tell me that they're not going to like to do that?
I don't know, Chris. We'll, man, AB. I don't know about AB, man.
I mean, that's just
a crazy take. I don't know about AB.
You get to put all sorts of stipulations in that contract with the way that the year that he had. So he's basically tied down. He can't be a fool. He can't act foolish.
Yeah, I don't know, Chris, man.
If I'm Jerry Jones, that's the way I'm thinking. Franchise tag Dak. Don't pay Amari. Let's see how Amari finishes the year if he can finish it healthy. There's another home run. Another home run.
Myron is an avid listener of the podcast. So
3-0 in the second inning.
So yeah,
isn't that how the Brewer game started yesterday?
Yeah,
I'm not butthurt about that.
This is the A's,
I'm not
though.
Butthurt about that.
This is the A's. They haven't.
Yeah, but Washington was known for blowing it too. I don't want to hear it.
They haven't won a series since guys were injecting each other's with steroids. So I don't know.
I don't want to hear it.
Since Mark McGwire and the
Baseball
Bash Brothers
is over. This is. I don't know what they're playing. This is an exhibition game.
Yeah. Chris, man, you didn't even see it. See, you're okay. It'd be worse if you saw it.
No,
you're playing softball.
I saw the replays.
You see, but you didn't see it live. So you're okay.
I'm not okay, Marcus. Not okay.
You'd be worse if you saw that. If you saw that guy miss that play live, I'm telling you, I don't think you would have went to work the next day if
Marcus,
you saw it live.
I was.
You wouldn't have went to work
today. I wouldn't have gone.
You wouldn't have gone to work if you saw it live.
Today.
No, you wouldn't have.
Marcus, all I know is Trent Grisham's out there in right field. Do you know who plays right field normally?
Mr. Yelich?
Yeah, Mr. MVP, who still might win the MVP in the National League because his numbers qualified.
Because to be honest, Chris, if that was my team, I wouldn't have went to work the next day.
It hurt today, Marcus.
I wouldn't have went to work.
It hurt a lot.
I wouldn't have went to work.
It hurt a lot. Let's go back to football before I start crying on the live in front of everybody here at Marley's and Chandler Fashion Square.
All right. So we haven't even got to Jameis Winston yet. That was third on our list. We didn't even got to Jameis.
Where did that come from?
Bruce Arians, man. I'm telling you, he's a quarterback whisperer, bro. I read that book. That dude knows quarterbacks.
Where did that come from, Marcus?
I don't know. He just knows how to talk to them and make them feel comfortable and make them feel relaxed and make them feel like they're the best quarterback on the earth. I don't know how he does it, but he just talks to them. He's very soft with them. He hypes them up during games. He has a good feel for them. Like, if they're in a bad mood, he knows how to go up to them and make sure that they get in a better mood. Like, I always tell the story with Bruce Arians. He talks about in his book, because he was with Peyton Manning earlier on his career, right? 1999, they're playing the Patriots. They've been getting their ass kicked by the Patriots for the longest. He sees Peyton super nervous before the game, just feet shuffling, feet are super quick, look like he's already under pressure to get before the game even starts, right? He walks up to Peyton, and he just, like, says something to him and relaxes him. And Peyton goes out there and beats the pass for the first time in like 5 seasons for the Colts. And it's like, I don't know what he knows, man, but no quarterback has played bad under him. It's amazing.
Well, Jameis has got 2 pretty good games.
Yeah.
And 2 just bad games.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he didn't play bad against the Giants, though.
No, I'm counting that as one of the good games.
Okay.
When he threw 3 touchdown passes to Mike Evans in the first, that was the first quarter,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, but he didn't play bad against the Panthers, though, either. He played okay. He played pretty good against the Panthers.
You know,
it was the Niners game, but the Niners got a good defense. That's what we found out later on. I mean, after a couple of games, he found out, okay, they have a legit defense because Sherman's back to – he's back to himself. He looks like Richard
Sherman.
You know
what I loved – and I'm sidetracking.
I know.
We gotta start locking in some, like – program, like we got to get somebody here to keep us on track because we keep jumping.
Hey, it makes the show great.
I'm gonna jump right here.
Okay,
Sherman was tweeting up a storm last.
I know.
Last week. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw it.
He was talking about, oh, they want to talk about how great these cornerbacks are, and you want to talk about this guy, And you want to talk about that guy. And he's playing really well 1 week. And then week two, he's okay. But then week three, he had a great game. And Sherman's like, show me a career. And he goes, oh, let me do it for you. Bam. And he threw stats out there. 49% completion percentage against me.
For a career.
For a career. And I'm like, good for you.
But that's what I'm talking about, man. He's got they got a good defense. So that first game for James.
I like him so much more being in San Francisco than I ever did with him in Seattle. But that is, again, my own personal bias.
But that's what I'm talking about. So the 49ers game, yeah, he had a bad game. But that we found out later, okay, that's a legit defense. So they're legit. They got a legit D-line. They added Nick Bosa. Another D-line's incredible. They got Richard Sherman. You know, they got some good corners. They got some good linebackers. So that's a good defense. I think ever since that game, Jameis has played like a Bruce Arians quarterback. Bruce Arians is just something about him and quarterbacks and what he tells. I don't know what it is. I read the whole book, man. And, like, Kelly Holcomb. He made Kelly Holcomb look really good.
He did. He really
Kelly
did.
Kelly Holcomb.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Carson Palmer, he revitalized Carson Palmer.
They put him in the ring, Marcus. They put Carson Palmer in the Ring of Honor in Arizona. What did he play, four seasons?
Yeah, but
four seasons?
That's all
you
Bruce.
You don't put anybody in a Ring of Honor after four seasons.
That's Bruce, bro. That's all Bruce. That's all Bruce, man.
That was ridiculous.
Bruce.
What, he won two playoff games?
Yeah. That's a lot for Arizona, though.
Marcus.
Bro. That's a career.
Marcus.
But that's my point, man, is that, like, he got Carson Palmer and turned Carson Palmer into an almost MVP quarterback at the end of his career. Not even at the beginning. He didn't get Carson Palmer young. He got Carson Palmer at year, like, 12.
I feel so bad for Carson Palmer, the way his knee got blown out so many times.
I know, man. But, you know, that's what happened. You play with the Bungles. Let's talk about Stafford.
That is a talented, talented, talented quarterback. He came into the league with so much talent and just got his career kicked out of him.
I know. But that's what I'm saying. Bruce Arians revitalized his career. So Carson Palmer might even get, like, a couple Hall of Fame votes, which I think is wild. I'm not going to go there. But just because Bruce Arians, at the end of his career, gave him a little more pub. That's all Bruce, dog. Bruce saved him. Saved his whole narrative as a career, basically, if you think about it.
You know what? You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
And that's why, like, Bruce Arians is amazing. I don't know what he does, bro. But, I mean, Byron Leftwich is calling those plays, man. He didn't look like he did with Josh Rosen. He's calling them good plays. But I will say with Jameis, right?
You want to bring up Rosen?
Are you talking about Rosen?
You said
his name. I mean, he looked pretty good last week.
He looked pretty good the last 2 weeks.
He looked pretty good last week.
He looked pretty good last 2 weeks. He's fitting my narrative right now.
Yeah.
Fitting my narrative right now.
I still think they're not going to go with him, though. His career's messed up. They're not going to keep him. Listen,
it's going to be week five. Let's just take it easy.
He's going to have to win at least five games for them to keep him. And I don't see that. That's a struggle, bro. He's not winning five games, dog. You got to let that go. He might get a shot eventually, it's not going to be in Miami.
I thought last week was going to be the first time that they were going to be competitive.
Yeah.
Just because of the way that they came off that game against Dallas. But the Chargers just slapped him in the face.
So. I know. But they're competitive for a little bit with the Chargers. I think it was like 10-10 at halftime.
It was close for a little.
Yeah, but, you know, that's what bad teams do. Like, they're competitive for a little bit, and then they get their butts kicked. So.
All right, I got you off topic there. We just did, like, eight different topics.
I know.
Like,
we weren't even supposed to talk about Mason Rudolph, and we talked about Mason Rudolph.
We weren't supposed to talk about Rosen. We were trying to get to. Yeah, we weren't supposed to talk about Stafford. We were trying to get to Winston and Goff. Then we went on a rant about Bruce Arians.
Then we
went back to Carson Palmer.
But I think that all ties into Winston, though, because Winston is playing better because Bruce Arians is there. So he looks like a way better quarterback. But still, that decision he made against the Rams, he still almost blew that game. He still did, Chris, against the Rams. He almost blew it.
I mean, Goff threw 500 yards.
But that's fine. And I think the problem with Goff right now is that the teams have figured out Sean McVay. And
the way that linebacker dropped into coverage, Goff had no idea he was there when he threw his first interception.
Sean McVay's in trouble. And That's the problem. I still think they're going to make the playoffs and all that stuff and all that good stuff. But Sean McVay's in big trouble. He's got to figure out how to – he's got to adjust. He's got to figure out something. Teams are playing that wide zone, and it's hard for them to run the ball. And
hey,
I don't care
as long as Cooper Kupp keeps getting 20 points a game.
I agree. I'm with that too.
I got Cooper in all of my teams. He's not only on all of my teams.
Yeah.
He's on teams of guys that I said you need to draft him.
Yeah. But that's one thing. Jameis is still Jameis. So that's what I'm talking about. That pick, bro, that he threw in that game, which was awful. It was an awful pick. You got the lead. They got the Rams back in the game. Rams had a chance to take the lead eventually or tie the game before he fumbled, and Sue ran it back for a touchdown. And that's all on Jameis still. I mean, Jameis still allowed them to come back in the game. So he's still got to clean up his decision-making.
You know that's a top 10 defense, right, statistically?
Who, the Rams?
No, the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Was it Barrett? Barrett, he leads the league in sacks, doesn't he?
Yeah, he has nine.
He's got nine already.
In four games.
Nine. That's incredible.
And he was cheap, too. I mean, the Raiders didn't get him. Raiders should offer him like 10 mil. Yeah, I'll take another one. All right. So Chris, we're at the 50-minute mark. Are we taking questions?
I think it's time.
We got any questions from the crowd?
We got the crowd. The crowd's lining it up.
Do you got any questions?
Crowd's got some questions.
I got a question.
Let it fly.
Taylor from Marley's and Chandler here. What's up? So, my question is, now that Daniel Jones is the starting quarterback of the Giants, you predict him to have a better year than Eli did last year?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's a good question.
I think that's almost kind of a guaranteed yes.
I mean, what is 4,000 yards in the NFL these days, though?
Ooh, that is. So what you're not hearing is the reaction from a diehard Giants fan who grew up in the age of Eli.
I'm just saying, what is 4,000 yards?
And has. Got the. I think I can see. Does that say Eli Manning on your shoulder? I think that's. Oh yeah, that's a tattoo. Yeah, that's a. No. So I'm sorry, but yeah, 4,000 yards doesn't mean anything
anymore.
I
think Daniel Jones came back to regular rookie quarterback last week. I think that he didn't get the same like, oh, you're Daniel Jones, ha ha ha, throw the ball. What are you gonna do? Defense. Yeah, he had two picks last week. Like the Bucks were like, ha ha ha, you're Daniel Jones. What are you gonna do? You know, and then he's like, oh, and they're like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, man, maybe we should play some little defense. And the Redskins played him a little different. He still looked pretty good, you know.
I don't think he was tested still. I mean, you've got the Redskins.
See, my thing with the difference between him and Eli, right, is that you got Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram, and he's getting the ball in those guys' hands, and he's letting them run all over the field. And I think that's a big difference between him and Eli right now, is that Evan Ingram was not – running all over the field on drag routes and whatever. He's getting the ball to his playmakers. And the Giants' offense really isn't that bad. So since their offense isn't really that bad, and it looked bad with Eli, and it looks better with Daniel Jones, I think that says more about Eli than it says about Daniel Jones right now.
Well, I mean, this was kind of the narrative that they were talking about the last 2 years with Eli as well. 2 years ago, it was like, who are you going to put in?
Yeah.
You didn't have a backup to put in.
Put in Geno, right? Or something.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Put Geno Smith in the game? No, that's not what's going to happen. Last year, it was like, who are you going to put in? And it was kind of like, well, maybe somebody could do something better. Because if you actually look at what Eli did the year before, it really wasn't all that impressive.
See, that comes back to my point, right? Because Eli had Odell Beckham, Evan Ingram, and Sterling Shepard. And I really feel like if Eli was still good enough, he would still have a job. They wouldn't be drafting a quarterback when you got those three weapons. So I think what Daniel Jones plays says more about Eli than it says anything about Daniel Jones itself, because that offense really isn't that bad. So since he got Saquon coming back, he's got Evan Ingram, who runs a 4-4, who's in the middle of the field running seams or whatever. He's got Sterling Shepard in the slot, right? I mean, outside the little weak, I guess, but see, Golden Tate's coming back. Bro, that's not a bad offense.
Marcus, did you just give him a, yep, you got it. Golden Tate.
He's right, though. But Golden Tate's a good player, bro. He runs good routes. He's perfect for a rookie quarterback. Bro, He's perfect for a rookie quarterback because he can just dump the ball off to him and he can run for 30 yards. So I think that's what I'm saying. So I think Daniel Jones' play, yeah, it's way better than Eli's, right? And I get that. But I think it's more about the play. He understands that there's playmakers around him. And I don't know what's wrong with Eli. I don't know why Eli couldn't get the ball to his playmakers.
I don't
know
if he understands that there's playmakers around him or they're just telling him, get the ball out of your hands, get the ball out of your hands, get the ball out of your hands.
But he's holding the ball pretty long, though. I just think that.
Do you think he's understanding the route concepts and the progression?
Yeah, he has a good understanding. He's a smart guy. It's more to me about when the NFL. It's more to me about what's going to happen when NFL teams try starting to stop him. And that's always my thing with quarterbacks. It's like we get these quarterbacks to come out and they ball out because NFL teams aren't trying to stop them. And when it switches up. And the NFL team is like, okay, we are going to stop you as a quarterback. Everything changes for you.
I know. Like that's why I hesitated all last year in Mahomes' first year, he's doing everything. And once you get the tape on the guy, once you understand who he is as a quarterback, now you're game planning it a little differently. That second and third year is what makes or breaks you.
Yeah. So if Daniel Jones keeps playing well, right, eventually a team's going to be like, okay. All right, Daniel, Saquon, you're going to – same thing we always say about good quarterbacks with good running backs. Saquon, we're going to let you eat.
Not in the box.
We're going to let you eat. Daniel Jones, we're not going to let you eat.
Well, see
– and that's how it's going to work.
Well, see, now that's a different story because I think it's – what it's going to start out is nine in the box, stop Saquon, hope that the offense figures it out, puts some points on the board. Now – it's up to the quarterback to do something, and you can kind of take your foot off the gas with trying to stop the run.
I don't think that's the box. Not with Daniel. He's just too good pre-snap. I think he's always been good pre-snap quarterback. So if you come nine in the box against Daniel Jones, he's going to pick you apart because he is a smart quarterback pre-snap. So he's going to be able to diagnose. He's going to be able to diagnose you pre-snap. It's more about what you do to him post-snap. So, like, if you go, right, if I see Daniel Jones is going to be like, okay, they're showing me this look. That means I'm going here, right? What NFL teams are going to start doing to him, though, is, okay, we're going to show you this look. He's like, I'm going to go here. He's going to drop back, and it's going to be, okay, that look's not there. It's what he's going to do after that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what it's become. But for right now, he doesn't have to deal with that. So.
You're right. That was a great question.
That was a great question,
Taylor.
That got
some good discussion. Very nicely done.
That was great. Yeah, we're almost at the hour mark, man.
We're here.
Let me hit the Rams and Seahawks.
We're here.
Oh, that's the Bills defense, though.
Here we go.
That's the Bills defense.
So the question was, what happened with Tom Brady only getting 3 fantasy points?
My answer to that is don't play Tom Brady against the Buffalo Bills. That Bills defense is ridiculous. I could have told you that before. You got to think about the Bills defense really doesn't have a hole.
Right?
They don't have a hole.
That was at home.
Yeah.
They've got – so what was it? Pro Football Focus rated both the safeties, as 1 and 2 this week, didn't they?
One, Jordan Poyer has the hottest girlfriend I've ever seen in my life. I don't know if you guys have seen her. Rachel –
I think we got a mic trap on that. I think.
Just for the fans, go to Instagram, Rachel Bush. God damn, Rays just hit another homer.
That's another homer. Look at him. He's smiling so big running those bases.
Wow.
Or nothing.
I'm telling you, man. I told you guys, A's in the wild card is nothing. But.
Baseball and hot girlfriends. We got to close this out fast.
Not staying Instagram, on topic anymore. Instagram, Rachel Bush. For everybody, just to help you guys out, just go check it out. You ain't got a follower.
Just
look at the pictures.
People in here, Marcus. I just saw 6 people in here. Just look at the pictures. Dive into their phone,
right? And you can see why Jordan Poyer plays so well on Sunday. but him and Micah Hyde are amazing.
Yeah,
Tre'Davious White is good. Levi Wallace from Alabama. He's undrafted, but he's really good too. They got Tremaine Edmonds in the middle playing well. They
Edmonds
got Ed Oliver,
great, and they don't even bring up Oliver. I haven't seen a single tweet about Oliver.
he's balling. Probably balling on the low. And then you got Jerry Hughes on the outside. Yeah, bro, that's a defense.
That is a defense,
and that's why Josh Allen could throw look as terrible as he did, and they're still down 16-10.
Is he even gonna play?
I don't know.
He
bro.
Got knocked. out.
I think he might play this week, but
I was a big boy getting tossed around like a rag doll.
But that's my point, dog. How bad he played that game. He played so awful, so terrible. He looked like an undrafted, I shouldn't be in the NFL quarterback. And they were down 13-10 when he got hit, and he was driving. They were down 13-10, and he was driving when that hit. That hit was on the Patriots side of the field.
Look out for them Buffalo Bills.
I tell you, man.
Berman's going to start circling that wagon.
The Patriots better not fall off because the Bills start rolling off and they get home field and you have to go play against that defense.
Ain't nobody going to want to be up in Buffalo.
No way.
In January and, oh.
No way. No wow. way.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine?
Buffalo against that defense in January, bro?
And in the AFC right now, that they could almost guarantee themselves a wild card.
I think they're a wild card team for sure.
I think you're right.
Like the way they put it on Tom Brady, bro. Tom Brady was shook that game. He was
It'll
shook.
Be very interesting.
I've never
to
seen
see
Tom.
How
I haven't seen Tom Brady
out.
Play that bad like in 10 years. It's been a long time since I've seen Tom that bad. He looked really 40 last week. So that's a team, bro. I don't know. Josh Allen, that's what I'm saying. My brother got mad at me because I told him maybe if Josh Allen was still playing, he probably just would have ran somebody over and ran for a touchdown. They would have won 17-16.
Oh, you know he would have ran. You know.
He would have just ran.
You know it would have been because of the run.
He would have four interceptions, had a completion percentage of 45, and they still would have won that game because he just would have ran somebody over with his gutsy competitiveness. So
completion percentage of 45? Oh, you're so right. Oh, you are so right.
Three interceptions, completion percentage of 45, but they're still in the game 13-10. He just runs somebody over, leaps over somebody for a touchdown or something. That's Josh Allen, bro. That's basically what we're going to see for the rest of his career. All right, Chris.
Which will last like two more years because he's going to get knocked out six more times.
Yeah. So, all right, so we're at the hour mark, Chris. I don't know if you want to how much you want to preview the Rams and Seahawks tomorrow. It's going to be a good game, though. It's going to be a good game.
Here, you ready for it?
Yeah.
Rams win.
Yeah.
Well, Rams win.
Ooh, I don't know, man.
Rams win.
Seahawks look pretty good, man.
Yeah, they didn't look good against the Saints when the Saints came rolling through. When the Saints came marching in.
Well, we all know the Saints are a pretty damn good team. They're 3-1 with Teddy Bridgewater.
The Rams are going to come back. This is their comeback game. Seattle is not the same Seattle that you've been bragging about for the last two seasons.
They're a good
on
the Seattle
podcast.
Team, bro. They're a good Seattle team, man. They're gonna
with DJ Metcalf on the outside who can barely catch 43% of the balls thrown at him. Because all he does is run fade patterns.
Yeah, because he can't
go
move.
Back to the podcast.
He can't move laterally.
Go back to the podcast in the offseason where we were just screaming about how awful Metcalf was and how you were so sick of all the Twitter love that he was getting.
I know, man. And I'm kind of happy that he's been humbled with his non-lateral movement that he has.
Oh, well, I mean, that's old news. We've been talking about it. We've been talking about it. No hashtag we'll see there.
We've already seen it.
We've already seen it. We already told you what it was going to be.
All right, yeah. So I'm gonna go Rams too because I think the Rams D is just gonna feed and eat on that line. I think Aaron Donald's gonna eat on the line like
Agreed.
He always has. So I'm gonna go Rams too for that win. All right, Chris, we're at the hour mark.
All right,
I don't know. We were all over the place
we're
today.
Like a,
but
it,
I think
like
it,
a.
It was good. I think it was a good show. We were all over the place.
We were
the
stock awesome. Market, man. Up and down.
Up and down.
Up and down. We were everywhere on that one.
Let's not talk about our work stock, man. That's just. But anyway.
No. Leave that out of this. Let's not talk about that. Let's go back. Hey, baseball. Hey.
Baseball.
There's a double down the line. Oh, I called it foul.
Bro.
Oh, they got lucky. He would have scored from first.
Oh, my God.
He would have scored from first. That just barely went foul.
Why are the A's so bad in the wild card in the playoffs?
There's too much going on here, Marcus. We can't stay focused.
I just don't get it. Like, why?
We need people to start showing up.
It's been like 10 years of this.
We got to get it's a nice full bar today.
Yeah.
And we get some more people to show up. Maybe we'll just, you know, get a little louder in here.
I think so. I think so, man. I think so. All right, so make sure you follow us on iTunes. Subscribe. Hit the subscribe button like always, please. Thank you. Make sure you hit the download on Spotify. Follow ALPA_QB1 on Twitter. Follow @KingManelos on Twitter. Follow @TheMarkJohnNFL on Twitter. We've got everything for you. QB analysis, all that other stuff. You all that love stuff that you love. I know you guys love quarterbacks. So make sure you come back to us. Give us some reviews on iTunes. Just keep checking us out, man. You got any last words, Chris?
I want to thank the two reviews that have shown up there.
Oh, we see. I mean, that's better than zero.
That's better than zero. I gotta get a shout out there to Evan.
Okay.
For getting a legitimate review out there.
Okay.
You know, kind of giving us some props for saying some things that the talking heads won't.
Okay. Okay.
And then I got a dog, Mr. Wade, on there.
What did Mr. Wade say?
He wanted to talk about, you know, if you're available, he will gladly break down my dating life. So thanks for putting that on the review. You know,
that's
exactly what you want to see up there on a review about a quarterback podcast.
Yeah, I know, man.
But, hey, he's listening. He's listening.
Yeah, that's
and he
all
likes what he hears.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, my brother's not going to like this podcast because we're live playing the A's. So shout out to him because he's an avid listener. But, you know, make sure you guys keep following us, man. Make sure you're following us. Repeat, repeat, repeat. We're here every Wednesday. Come check us out at Marley's if you're in Arizona. We're here, man. All right. Every Wednesday. Peace out.